Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, with joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Oh, let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows? Psalter 348, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 2. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in a sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces, like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then we have been carried upon thy wings of mercy thus far in this day, and thou hast granted the opportunity for the second time on this holy day of rest, that we may come up to thy house. Then thy blessings are manifold. Wilt thou grant a heart to acknowledge thee? That is the work of thy Holy Spirit. May we be humbled thereunder, and may it be all thy goodness that worketh that godly sorrow that leadeth to a true repentance. Then our needs are manifold. They were great in this morning hour, and now each and every one of us have come a little closer to eternity, and therefore the needs have become greater. May it be felt, may it be experienced, may the prayers be multiplied, that thou may remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Then by renewal, then we humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon thy holy word. May it please thee in this very hour to use thy word that boys and girls, young people, the middle-aged and the elderly, that they may be converted by thee unto thee. But wilt thou also remember thy people? Wilt thou grant that close, that tender, that dependent life, needing thy dear Son as their prophet, their priest, and their king? Thou hast a people that learn more and more their dependency upon thee, and the wonder of free and sovereign grace. May they be administered out of thy fullness to receive grace for grace. To that end, bless the manifold means of grace. Then surely thou canst say unto us as a people, what more could have I done to my vineyard that I have done unto it? And it is recorded, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Bless the labors in the midst of the church. Wilt thou help, strengthen, and encourage the consistory to that end, who is sufficient to that end? Wilt thou remember when the consistory hopes to gather in this week? Remember the family circles. Wilt thou grant that love may abound, thy word may have authority? Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to instruct their children in the aforesaid doctrine, and that the children may have ears to hear and be given to honor their father and their mother? Wilt thou remember our Christian school? The labors are manifold, so many souls all traveling to a never-ending eternity. We may humbly thank thee for what thou hast given hitherto. May it please thee to continue to provide. May that need be felt, and may it be laid before thee. May it please thee to continue to grant traveling mercies, help the school board, the administration, all those that may instruct, with those that stand at their side. Above all, may it please thee to bless thy holy word and work from generation to generation, as is declared in thy holy word. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. Above all, may they be taught by thee, and may the number of students be increased. Uphold the persecuted church. Wilt thou enlighten the Jewish nation? Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants, stand on their right and on their left. And wilt thou bless the labors of the team? Remember all those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. And then also in our country, we have become a country that has departed so far from thy word. The necessity of mission work in our community. Wilt thou remember our poor country? Remember all in high authority. Wilt thou pardon our many sins? Because the sins of this land, they cry unto the heavens for vengeance. We continue to murder our unborn, the seventh commandment trampled upon, and the Lord's day desecrated. Woe unto us that we have sinned. And then the necessity that I may grant repentance. But it is written in thy word that the time is come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God, O Lord. May it please thee in these solemn days to grant unto thy church a turning from worldly and from evil days. May it please thee in this week when we hope to come up to thy house, a day that has been set aside for prayer, may it please thee to truly grant a day of humiliation and of repentance and a crying unto thee. Lord, remember our many temporal needs. Continue to supply the daily bread for our family circles. Wilt thou comfort all the mourning ones? Remember all the elderly ones. Remember the sick and afflicted, the mother in her serious condition. Then we commend her unto thee by renewal, for body and for soul. And may she be given to pray with the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember all under the physician's care, those that are waiting. Remember the crosses, the burdens, the scars. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this evening hour. May it please thee to grant a few, could it be many, true Aaron's and hers. May it please thee that there may be empty vessels also in this passion season, those vessels that are so full of the world and of self-righteousness, may they be emptied, and of poor and needy people, souls that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, may they be filled with thy blessings and with thy goodness. Remember all those that could not come up to thy house in this evening hour, also when they may listen along. But, all Lord, do remember all those that have come up. Be then a surprising God. Leave us not cold. Leave us not unrenewed. May it make an impression, work lovingly and savingly in the hearts of young and old. And, our Lord, then by renewal, then we must confess that we have nothing to plead upon. We are a sinful people. We are a people with unclean lips. But, our Lord, a people that has been set apart. We are bearers, us and our children, of thy thrice holy name. And thou hast promised to work from generation to generation as long as the sun and the moon endure. Ah, wilt thou grant that wrestling at the throne of grace for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 302, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord unto us Christ hath said, in glory I enthrone thee. Till all thy foes in triumph fled, their sovereign king shall own thee. And what follows? Psalter 302, the three stanzas. this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 19, and then in this evening we wish to consider the question and answers of 50 and 51. Question 50, why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Question 51. What profit is this glory of Christ, our head, unto us? Answer, first, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members, and then that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Lord's Day number 19, the question and answers 50 and 51 speak of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. With three thoughts, in the first place, the special meaning of the right hand. In the second place, the Almighty Governor at the right hand. And in the third place, the rich graces poured out from the right hand. The Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. The special meaning of the right hand. The Almighty Governor at the right hand. And in the third place, the rich graces poured out from this right hand. Beloved congregation, in Lord's Day number 18, then we were given to hear of the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, the second step of his exaltation. And now in this evening hour, we are called upon to consider the third step, and that is the sitting of Christ at the right hand of the Father. Then these two steps, then they are closely joined together, and yet there is a separation, there is a distinction. That joining together, that also becomes evident in our Heidelberg Catechism, where in Lord's Day number 18, then the instructors, they have already mentioned and spoken of the blessing of Christ being in heaven. And then in this Lord's Day, then that joining together, then it is specifically added and mentioned. Why is it added and sitteth at the right hand of God? And then the answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end. Thus I think that our boys and girls can understand it, that the ascension That was when Christ was taken up from this earth and went into heaven, and the setting at the right hand, that is the place that Christ has received, closely connected and joined together, and still a separation, to make it clear, boys and girls, tomorrow morning when you go to school, then a bus shall pick you up and take you to school. That bus ride is closely connected to school, and that is to bring you to a building where you may learn, where you may be instructed. And I hope, boys and girls, that you may see it as a privilege, and that you are always on time, and that you behave well in the morning and in the afternoon, and that you do not make your bus driver sad, but that you do your best to make them happy. So you can understand going to school is closely connected, and yet there is a separation, of course, on the school bus. Then we may also study, and then we may read. And now concerning the sitting at the right hand of the Father, that has been prophesied in the Old Testament. We have sung together of Psalter 302, Psalm 110, where it is written, the Lord said unto me, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies my footstool. The Lord Jesus Christ, before the Sanhedrin, has declared in Matthew 26, verse 24, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Concerning the ascension and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have the beautiful example of a Joseph who was first humbled, but at the Lord's appointed time has come out of prison and has received new garments. A beautiful picture of the resurrection of Christ. But further, then Joseph has received a special place in the government of Pharaoh. He was second in command, has received a chain, a ring, glorious garments, a chariot to ride in, and then when he rode down the street, then it was said, bow the knee. And now concerning that right hand, then we must first explain the meaning of that right hand, because boys and girls, then we have learned, and it is true, we cannot comprehend that infinite, that majestic, and that glorious God. But I read in John 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And a spirit we cannot see. A spirit that does not have a body. Thus then, boys and girls, what do we now mean when we say that Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father, where God in his divine essence has not a body. Then it has pleased the Lord to condescend so low, and in the scriptures, then bodily parts are ascribed unto the Lord in a figurative way. Do we not read of the eyes of the Lord? That means, boys and girls, that the Lord sees everything upon this earth, that the Lord looks down even into our heart, the Lord's ears, that the Lord hears the prayer of the needy. May it please the Lord in this week to grant unto us and our children where a day has been set aside, that we may rest from our labors, that we may come up to God's house and try to call upon his name and beg of the Lord for a blessing for the season that lies before us. Has the Lord not said, open wide thy mouth and I will fill it? And so it is also when the Lord speaks in his word many times in the New Testament of the right hand of God. And then in the first place, then we may speak of a place of honor. We read in 1 Kings 2, when the mother of Solomon has come to him with a special request that Solomon has placed a chair at his right side where she may sit. I hope, children, that you also honor your mother. Then in the second place, then the right hand of the father, that speaks of a place of power. And many times, those that have received an important place in government, they have been generals and officers in an army and fought many a battle. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, what a warfare he has waged in the state of his humiliation. And I read in Psalm 118, verse 16, the right hand of the Lord is high exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Then in the third place, when we speak of the right hand, that speaks of favor. Father Jacob, when Benjamin was born, after Rachel has given that name, a son of sorrow, then he is called then Benjamin, and that means the son of my right hand. Think only of Father Jacob in Genesis 48, when Joseph is heard that his father was sick, and he has taken his two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, and then they have come before Jacob, and then Father Jacob has crossed his hands that in Ephraim would receive the greatest blessing. In the fourth place, it is a place of majesty and of glory, because we read in the scriptures, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In the fifth place, it is a place of likeness. when one sits at the right hand of someone very important, then it tells us that there is a certain familiarity. And so I read in John 10, verse 30, that the Father and I am one. Then in the last place, it is a place of authority. Many times we speak of a right-hand man, that is one whom we entrust our business, especially when we depart. And now concerning the right hand of the Father and Christ sitting at that right hand, then in the Scriptures, then we have different expressions. Then I read in Romans 8, verse 34, that he is. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, that he sits. That Christ may rest from his meritorial work in the state of his humiliation. We read thereof in the book of Hebrews. When we consider the Old Testament and the tabernacle and the furniture in the tabernacle and in the temple, and then we read of many glorious pieces, but we do not read of chairs, because the high priest and the priests, when they have come to the tabernacle and to the temple to serve, then they were to be active in the different duties that have been given unto them. But now of Christ, we may read in the Scriptures that he may sit, that he may rest from his meritorial work in the state of his humiliation, because Christ has cried out, it is finished. But further, then we also read in the Scriptures, in Acts 7, verse 55, that he stands. And now for the true children of God, when does this Lord's Day, when does it receive special value? When may the church be comforted in a special way, that Christ, that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father? As a general rule, that is in a way of troubles and of persecution. When we read Psalm 110 and the prophecy of Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that is in the context of many enemies and persecution. Oh, think of a Stephen in Acts 7, when he was arrayed before the council, and when by the Holy Spirit he was given to testify of his God. And when they were ready to stone him, then we read that the heavens were opened, given to behold the glory of heaven. And then he saw Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. That standing, that tells us that Christ is active and ready to defend his church. Oh, it shall be the experience of the church that there can be those special moments when they are assaulted, when they are persecuted, when they are tried, and when it may please the Spirit to open the Scriptures, and they may be given to behold that the King the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father for the welfare and for the defense of the church. We have another example in the book of Revelation. Oh, John, that old apostle, he was banished to the island of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was given to see those visions of that exalted Christ. Oh, he had a name written on his vesture, King of kings and Lord of lords. When is another time when the child of God, when that third step of his exaltation becomes so necessary and so precious? And do you know, congregation, may it be granted in this week when we hope to have a prayer day and for a people that are given to experience that of self, that they are so prayerless and so thankless, and that their sins are many. Oh, then how necessary, the Lord has to grant it. And may the Lord grant yet souls in our midst, that for Wednesday, that we need a praying and a thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father. Our second thought, the Almighty Governor at the right hand. And then in our Lord's Day, then the answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Then in this evening, then we have told you last week that what was spoken of in the last answer of Lord's Day number 18 also applies to the sitting at the right hand of the Father. The blessings of Christ at the right hand of the Father, that is so beautiful typified in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and later in the temple. Then children, at least when you are a little older, then you have studied that tabernacle, and it all points to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the court, the utensils, the furniture, was made of brass, and that refers to the earth. Then the brazen altar points to justification, and the brazen laver of with water, that points to sanctification. But now in the tabernacle, in the holy place, there were three pieces of furniture. Maybe children, maybe you can tell me what they are. And then there was the golden altar of incense. There was the table of showbread. And there was the golden candlestick. And gold, that points to heaven. Thus, with those three pieces of furniture, then it is beautiful typified the work of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. And then the golden altar of incense, that points to prayer. and that Christ is the advocate for his church, the table of showbread, and that speaks of provision, and that points to his kingly office, and the golden candlestick, and that needed oil to burn, that points, that grants light, and that points to the prophetical office. And now concerning the blessings of Christ for his people, and then a few words yet. It is declared in the last answer of Lord's Day number 49, a first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father, that speaks of his intercession. When we speak of an advocate, when we speak of Christ, then he is not only given to intercede for his church, but then he is given to plead and demand upon the perfect sacrifice he has brought. We have heard out of Psalm 2, ask of me, and I will give unto thee the uttermost parts of the earth and the heathen for thy possession. So beautiful typified in the Old Testament with the high priest, where he had those 12 names of the children of Israel engraven on his heart, and 6 names of the children of Israel engraven upon a stone upon his shoulders. And then the high priest has carried those names with him. Oh, what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ as that intercessor and that advocate. And now, should not the question be, who does Christ now pray for at the right hand of the Father? And then it is clear in many places of Scripture, also in the high priestly prayer in John 17, that he only prays for those who he has received of the Father as a reward upon his meritorial work in the state of his humiliation. And in John 17, verse 20, oh, what precious words. There it is written, I pray not for these only, but also for those that shall believe in my name. And thus the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is for his whole church, also those that must be gathered from among the children of men. Then in our Lord's Day, then there is spoken of his kingly office, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Then he is that life-giving head. We have heard in the last Lord's Day that the head of the church, that he has ascended into heaven and has received the place at the right hand of the Father. And now the Lord Jesus Christ at his Father's right hand. Oh, when we think of Joseph, then the butler has forgotten Joseph, but not the greater Joseph, but he is mindful of his church, and he shall never forsake, and he shall never leave them, and never separated. When we think of Christ as the head of his church, then it is declared therein the unity of those members. In the second place, the subjection of those members. When we have a body, then our children can understand it. Then our hand, our bodily members, they receive instruction from the head. Then they cannot be separated. Then they must be joined. And so it is with the church. The vine and the branches have been planted therein. And then that bond by true saving faith. And now concerning that headship, a further declared in question and answer 51, what profit is this glory of Christ, our head unto us? And then at the end, and that by his power, he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Thus that speaks of the kingly office of Jesus Christ as that almighty King who was promised and said unto his church in Matthew 28 verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Oh, how precious and necessary that he becomes in his kingly office, in that warfare against that triple-headed enemy. Thus concerning that kingship, oh, as king, then he is still gathering his church unto himself by word and by spirit. Oh, may it be our prayer. Oh, may it be given. Oh, it is true. On another prayer day, then the temporal needs, they are great. They are manifold. But is not the greatest need the need that we and our children, by this almighty King, at the right hand of the Father, that he may gather many subjects, that he may work by word and by spirit, that the enemies of the King may be slain upon the battlefield of free and sovereign grace. A body not only gathers, a body cares, and he preserves. Oh, the kingship of Christ, how broad and how precious it is for his church. By his power, he defends and preserves us against all enemies. And the King, his works are so wonderful, they are so mighty. What an examples we have in the scriptures of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it was through that kingship that Christ in the promise in the Old Testament, that he would be that mediator, that the church in the Old Testament may also derive the profit and the blessings therefrom. Then many times, then it pleases the King that he confounds the enemies. Think of Elisha when he was with that servant on Mount Dothan. And when the enemies have surrounded that hill, and when that servant in the morning he has saw all those enemies, and then he has come to Elisha, Master, what shall we do? Oh, then Elisha, then he was given to see that as God was almighty, and then he was given to testify those that are with us are more than those of the enemy, Lord. Open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And what has the Lord then done Then he has confounded that enemy by smiting them with blindness. Oh, other times, then the king, then he destroys the enemy. Think of a Pharaoh in Exodus 14, and Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, in Isaiah 37. Other times, then it pleases the king that he converts them. What a beautiful example we have in the scriptures in Acts 9 of that Saul, oh, a Pharisee, a self-righteous Pharisee, persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, ready to destroy that church in Damascus. But then it was the king's time. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And now for the church of God, for a people that experience that they have no strength against all those enemies, as a Jehoshaphat, where he has said, we have no strength against all these enemies. Ah, then the king, then he preserves that people in their most holy faith. And now what is the question, congregation? When we consider Christ as advocate and Christ as king, then if it is right, then that question should already be impressed upon your heart. Whether we now have become a subject of that king, is that now taking place? That we have been arrested by free and sovereign grace, and that we have become a poor sinner, a sinner that is no power of himself. And now may it please the Lord in this Passion season to lead into the mysteries, the blessings, and the comforts of that blessed mediator. Oh, it is true, does not begin with the disciples, did not begin with the ascension and the sitting at the right hand of the Father, but the comfort for the church. Let us sing of Psalter 427, the stanzas 3 and 8. The Lord's right hand is high exalted, Jehovah's strong and mighty hand. The vaunting enemy he halted, and made his chosen ones to stand, and what falls. Psalter 427, the stanzas 3 and 8. of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. The special meaning of the right hand. The Almighty Governor at the right hand. And now thirdly, the rich grace is poured out from this right hand. Then we read in answer 51 that by His Holy Spirit He pours out heavenly graces upon us, His members. Then there is spoken of the precious work of the Spirit of God, further declared in Lord's Day number 20. And now precious things are mentioned in this answer. Then it does not say that the Holy Spirit, a few drops or a sprinkle, of course, for a thirsty wilderness and for a people that may hunger and thirst after righteousness and for a people that have sinned everything away, then the smallest is so great. But now in our answer, and that is biblical, it is true. In Hosea 14, verse 5, there the work of the Holy Spirit is compared to the dew. How refreshing that the dew is in hot and barren lands. But when we study the Scriptures, then in the Old Testament, the promise of the Spirit and the blessing of Pentecost, then in Isaiah 32, verse 15, and in Isaiah 44, the verses 3 through 5, there I read that the Spirit shall be poured out. When we read that answer, that by His Holy Spirit He pours out heavenly graces upon us as members, then, of course, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make sons and daughters members of Christ. When we read of that pouring of those heavenly graces by His Spirit, then it is the calling, as I read in Hebrews 10, verse 25, it is a blessing and a privilege that we and our children may faithfully come up to God's house. When there are those that are not faithful, then listen to that answer, and then the necessity that we place ourselves where those graces are poured out. And the Lord has promised to especially work in His house. A Father Smitegelt, in a certain sermon, has said that if we want to become wet, that we must walk in the rain. And to that end, that we place ourselves under the means of grace and with a prayer that the Lord will indeed, because there are times in the church when that pouring out is so missed. When we think of former times, think of the day of Pentecost. Think of the days of revivals, the great awakening in the year 1734 to approximately 1740, under the labors of Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield of others, how the Spirit was poured out upon the church for regeneration, but also for those further leadings to come to a saving knowledge to the Son of God. Then the instructors, they have called them heavenly graces in the first place concerning their origin, because they come from heaven, from the greater Joseph. In the second place, those heavenly graces, when they are poured out upon the members, then they make those members more heavenly. I read of Peter and John in Acts 4, verse 13, when they were brought before the council, and that the council perceived that they had been with Jesus because of the heavenly graces that have been poured upon them. And then in the third place, they are called heavenly graces because they prepare them for heaven. Concerning those manifold heavenly graces, then we hope to hear thereof when in Lord's Day number 20, when there is spoken of the article, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And now concerning this Lord's Day, then what does it mean to us congregation? We have read together from Psalm 2, and then in the first verses, in the verses 1 through 5, then it speaks of the enemies of the king. Oh, young and old, are you still an enemy of the king? Are you still unconverted? Oh, do you think that you shall hold it out against that almighty king? And then the psalmist has declared, oh, those enemies, may we be spared from the hardness of the heart. And then those enemies have said, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. And then the psalmist has spoken in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. In verse 8, there is spoken of the reward of the king, and that is his people. And then in the last verses, an admonishment unto us and our children. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Congregation, may it please the King at the right hand of the Father to pour out his blessings in this week, when we hope to come together in the house of God for a day of prayer, when we think of the days of old, we think of Abraham Lincoln, when in March of 1963, when he has proclaimed a prayer day, then he has spoken of profound things, letting our labors rest. But then he has spoken of a day of humiliation, a day of fasting, and a day of repentance. May it please the Lord to grant a prayer unto us and our children. May it please the Lord to grant a special prayer day for us and our children, and above all, that it may be for the coming of his kingdom. Oh, may it please the King to gather us and his children and to pour out those heavenly graces. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of precious things. Who was able to declare the riches of thy dear Son sitting at thy right hand? The Queen of Sheba, when she has come to King Solomon and has beheld all his glorious servants, the temple, then she was given to say that the half was not told. Lord, may it please thee to pour out those heavenly graces upon us and our children for regeneration, for quickening, for instruction, for comfort, and for assurance. Wilt thou remember us in the week which we have commenced? Wilt thou grant in the day of tomorrow that we may receive strength to take up our daily labors? May we be found good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? And then by renewal, Lord, then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou bring us and our children together on a day that has been set aside? Oh, may it be a true prayer day. Wilt thou grant humiliation? Wilt thou grant repentance? May it be experienced that thy dear Son sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and that he pours out those heavenly graces. Wilt thou remember man and beast? Remember the family circles. Dismiss us now in thy favor. Wilt thou grant safety over the unsafe roads? Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 4, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? And what follows? Psalter 4, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.